Let us kneel and begin with a Hail Mary.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Our Lady, Seat of Wisdom, St. Francis of Paola, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are now living in a time of serious moral and spiritual crisis, and the whole world is in conflict and turmoil. Now, the Church, who is the beacon and structure of morality for the world, is itself living through a time of a great apostasy, if not the great apostasy of her very leaders. Now, those that are supposed to be defending the faith and the Church are not acting as guardians and protectors, but as wolves and predators among the sheep, corrupting the faith of these little ones and throwing them to the dogs. Besides all this, we're witnessing heresy and schism, and the charity of many has begun to grow cold. The Church and the world are in serious danger, as Our Lady has seriously warned us at Fatima. But in time of crisis, God raises great saints to strengthen our faith and the Church. God loves us, and He will not abandon us. We have to remember this. Now, in 1416, the world was living in a time of turmoil. The Catholic Church was living through an embarrassing confusion known as the Great Western Schism. Now, there were three people claiming to be Pope: Gregory XII, the legitimate Pope in Rome; Benedict XIII in Avignon; and John XXIII, elected by a group of dissident cardinals at an illegal council held in Pisa. Now, God willed that during this crisis in 1416, a great saint was raised up to strengthen the Church and our faith. Now, this saint entered the world in a time of great crisis of faith, and God chose him as a means to strengthen the weakening faith of many. Now, the saint's parents, Giacomo and Vienna d'Alessio, were deeply religious and devout and wholly devoted to St. Francis of Assisi. Now, although they were married for 16 years, they had no children. So they prayed to St. Francis, their most beloved saint, for a son, not for themselves, but to serve God. Now, they prayed that if St. Francis granted them a son, that they would serve his order and they would name him Francis. So on March 27th, 1416, in a small town of Paola in northeast Italy, little Francis was born. He would become known as St. Francis of Paola. Now, a month after his birth, his mother had found an abscess in his left eye. So the doctors of the village told her that he would become blind in his future life. So Vienna d'Alessio, his mom, ran to a nearby church and placed little Francis at the foot of the altar of St. Francis of Assisi, his true patron saint. And with tears streaming down her face, she asked Francis to free her child from this abscess. She promised that if he was cured, that he would serve 1 year in the Franciscan monastery of St. Mark, wearing the Franciscan habit and living the holy rule of the order. And a few days later, he was miraculously cured. But then on March 27th, 1429, the day that Francis turned 13, he woke up in his bedroom, finding it completely filled with light. Now, St. Francis appeared there at the foot of his bed, and he told little Francis, he said, "Tell your parents that the time has come for you to wear the habit of the Friars Minor. For 1 year, as your mother promised, when as a baby you were cured from an abscess in your left eye." So immediately he ran to his parents. He told his parents, and they consented right away. So Francis went off to the monastery with so much enthusiasm and zeal to follow the holy rule. Now, at the monastery, he learned to read, and he laid the foundation for a very austere and holy life, which he never abandoned for the rest of his life. From that day forward, he never slept on bedsheets, and he never ate meat again. While he was in the monastery, he had to be reprimanded every once in a while because of his severe fasting and for not getting enough sleep, all of which, of course, St. Francis did obey. Now, at age 15, after he had left the monastery, He got his parents' consent to go to a rocky cave on the seacoast to live as a hermit. Now, during this time, he only ate bitter herbs and food brought to him by the people who lived nearby, and he slept on the rocks. When he was 20 years old, two men came out to join him. And not long after this, the townspeople of Calabria nearby invited him to their town, building three cells for them and also a chapel for the community. Now, as the people started to learn more and more about the holiness of Francis, he began receiving many visitors and soon many vocations. The habit that they took in their order was very simple and made of coarse material. They slept on the floor or on wooden boards. They ate only fruit and vegetables. They used a rock for their pillow. But Francis himself would eat only one meal a day, and that was bread and water in the evening. And on great feast days, he would fast for 2 days straight, not eating anything for 2 days. Now, in his community, they lived a perpetual Lent. That is, they fasted the entire year. They did this in reparation for all the abuses of Lent, for people not following their resolutions, because he hated to see that fasts were lessened by the church, that people broke their resolutions for penance, and the weakening that this was doing to the world, and the lukewarmness that it was leading Catholics into. Now, the local bishop was so edified by their example that he gave this little community his approval, and so they began to build a larger monastery for all the vocations that God was sending them. Now, St. Francis began working many miracles because he had a great faith and confidence in the power of God. Now, one day while they were building the monastery, they were bringing in logs to place on the roof of the chapel, and they were putting these beams on the roof when all of a sudden one of the logs slipped. It fell and it crushed one of the workers, whose name was Domenico, and it killed him instantly. Now, the other workers, seeing this, they ran out to St. Francis and called in the saint. Francis came in and knelt by the mutilated corpse. Then he looked up to heaven. He raised his arms and said, "In the name of charity, Domenico, arise." Domenico stood up, dusted himself off, thanked the saint, and then went back to work. Now, St. Francis also battled the devil one-on-one. He freed many from demonic possession. Now, one day a woman was brought to him kicking and screaming. "This is my enemy," she yelled out at the sight of Francis. Now, Francis greeted her, then he went to his cell, and he spent the whole night in prayer and in penance, asking for this woman's deliverance. Then he came out the next morning, and they brought the woman to him. She kept screaming, "I have no fear of any of you. The only one that I fear is Fra Francesco." So Francis approached her very calmly and commanded the demon, "I command you in the name of God on high to leave the body of this poor creature." The evil spirit returned with a lie. He said, "You're in error. I'm not a demon. I'm a spirit of a venal woman who died 25 years ago." Well, knowing this was a lie, St. Francis commanded, "Be silent and obey the name of the Creator." The enraged demon threw the woman's body on the ground, and she began to convulse until she fainted. Then a few minutes later, she stood up, completely free from the possession of this demon. Now, all of Francis's miracles became well known throughout all of Italy. In fact, many other regions of Italy began asking his religious community, the religious order of Minim Friars, to establish monasteries in their towns and villages. So in 1464, when Francis was 48 years old, he headed out to Sicily for a visit to establish a monastery, and he took two friars with him. Now, when they arrived at the ferry to cross part of the Mediterranean to Sicily, St. Francis saluted the captain of the ferry, whose name was Pietro Coloso, and asked him in a humble voice if, for the love of Jesus Christ, he would kindly transport him and the two brothers across to the Sicilian shores. But Coloso responded, "I will be glad to, just as long as you pay me." But Francis said, "But we, dear brother, are asking for your charity because we have no money." "What does that mean to me?" responded Coloso coldly. "If you don't have money to pay me, then you have no boat to carry you." So the saint, without anger or impatience, walked a little ways down the beach, knelt on the sand in prayer for a few seconds. Then he got up and he spread his mantle on the water. Then he picked up one end of the mantle with his staff. He held it up in the air like a sail and began to sail across the 4-mile stretch to Sicily. Now, of course, this freaked out the captain and everybody that was watching. They saw this great miracle. And so the Colosso, the captain, hurried the brothers onto the ferry and went after Francis. He shouted to Francis that he would ferry him across for free. But of course, Francis continued undisturbed until he arrived in Sicily. Now, when the captain arrived, he went immediately over to Francis and begged his forgiveness. Now, after arriving in Sicily, the three friars walked down to Milazzo in northern Sicily, which is another town. And here they were going to stay for some time while they built their monastery. Now, they arrived at a place called the Pond of the Hanged. And as they found a body dangling from the gallows, which had been hanged for 3 days before, they stopped, and Francis went up and retrieved the body. Now, the saint was so full of pity that he removed the rope from the dead man's neck, and with the help of Brother John, who was with him, he held him in his arms. He looked up to heaven, and he said a prayer, and the hangman sprang to life. The revived criminal fell to his knees, thanking the saint. He asked Francis that after saving his body, he might also help him save his soul, and so he asked him to make him a member of the order. The hangman, whose name is unknown even till today, was admitted into the order, and he lived a holy life, and afterwards he died a holy death. Now, he did all this for the greater good of souls. He didn't do it for himself, and he did it for God, but he did it to strengthen the world's understanding of the power of the omnipotent God. Now, after 3 years in Sicily, doing all these works and miracles, he completed the monastery there, and then he returned to the monastery in Calabria. Now, one day in the town of Paterno, just outside of Calabria, where Francis was building another monastery, a farmer named Bernardino Pugalio was setting fire to a stand of trees and shrubs to clear his land to cultivate it. Then a strong wind came up and spread the fire to the connecting fields and threatened to burn the stacks of lumber that St. Francis had reserved for the monastery. Now this fire got out of control, and just then Francis ran out to see the flames, so he commanded the fire. He said, "Fire in the name of charity, but what are you supposed to burn? Do not touch what is mine." Pugliano, who saw all of this, said the fires died down and continued to burn only his stack. The saint's lumber was completely untouched. Now, these are great miracles of the saint. And during all of this, St. Francis never suffered from pride because he gave all the credit to God, and his only desire was to glorify God. He chose to always be the least in the community, and because of this, he never became a priest. Now, Pope Sixtus V had a great admiration for St. Francis and his congregation. So he offered Francis to ordain him a priest. Now, in spite of the fact that he had no schooling and many clerics thought him to be uneducated, he still asked St. Francis. Now, the Pope pointed out to his critics, he said, that he himself was self-taught and he was so completely and fully dedicated to God. He pointed to his austerity and self-mortification, to prayer, to his prophecy and performing of miracles, and that this would more than fulfill his duties to be a good priest. Now, the Pope's request, of course, shocked Francis so bad that he dropped to his knees, and with tears in his eyes, he begged him to recognize his lack of dignity and his ignorance, and to let him be what he always wanted to be, the very least of the whole community. Pope Sixtus, surprised but edified by his plea, took back his offer. But he did give him the power to bless rosaries, candles, medals, and other religious objects and sacramentals. The saint accepted these powers willingly, and he became a great apostle of sacramentals, especially of blessed candles, which he continued to do even though he wasn't a priest. Now, when the Turks began invading Sicily, one of Calabria's most trusted captains, Gian Nicola Conclubet, the Count of Arena, stopped with the soldiers to get Francis's blessing. Now, this count was a brave, virtuous, and a holy soldier who loved his men and desired their salvation, and Francis knew this. So he went out to bless his troops and promised to pray for their success. Then he gave each soldier a candle that he himself had blessed. Then he said, "Dear Count, go with fear and with the grace of God. You will fight with great valor against the enemies of your faith. Victory will be yours, and you and your soldiers shall return safely to your homes." Now, one of the soldiers refused to accept the candle, saying that he didn't believe in religious articles. Now all the other soldiers accepted this offering with humility. Now after the battle, all of the soldiers returned home safely, except for the one who refused to accept the blessed candle. Now these are all great miracles in the life of St. Francis of Paola, but these aren't all of them. In fact, we will finish the life of St. Francis of Paola next time, because there's so much in his life which serves to strengthen our faith in this time of crisis. Now even in these 2 weeks, we'll not be able to cover all of his miracles and all of his virtues, since there's not enough time. This saint is God's miracle worker. He was raised by him to strengthen a weakened world and a weakened church damaged by the great Western schism and a grave moral crisis at the time. This saint is necessary now to strengthen our faith in this time of great crisis in this world and in the church, and to show us the power and omnipotence of Almighty God at the hands of a humble servant. His life is proof of the gospel, that if we had the faith of a mustard seed, we shall move mountains. The author and researcher of his life, Mario Segretti, says this. He says, we find in Francis's life no evidence during his 91 years on earth that God denied this devoted son anything for which he had prayed. God so loved this humble servant that whatever Francis asked of him, the Almighty granted. God is calling up saints like St. Francis of Paola in this time of crisis. Will you be one of them? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.